Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I'm really super, super happy because I have Maxi Schmidt back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Hi, Maxi. How are you?
Hi, Greg. Thank you for having me again.
Super happy and super thrilled to kick off this discussion about customer experience measurement practices, how we can optimize them, what are the newest ideas on this topic, and therefore, let's kick off this discussion. But as usual, before we deep dive in this topic, we would learn more about you. And therefore, Maxi, could you please quickly introduce yourself?
Yes, happy to. So in customer experience, I've worked in customer experience for a long time. Right now, I'm at Forrester Research. If you don't know Forrester, we're a company that does applied research to guide practitioners in customer experience, for example, to better career and business success. And I've been doing this for a while. Now I'm in Switzerland. Before that, I was in the US. And I started in academia when we still called it service management. And when we talked about complaint management and service blueprints. And I think NPS was just coming. It's like more than 20 years ago. And then I went into consulting. And then I had big luck to get to Forrester, where I have a lot of exposure to customer experience teams around the world and their challenges and get to help them.
Oh, thank you very much. And if I am good with mathematics, it means you started working when you were 10, and therefore...
Yes, 8 actually.
That's perfect. Something that I really enjoy to ask is to learn also more about you is, which values drive you in life?
So as you know, because we know each other also, I believe in relationships. I think the most important thing in your life is the relationships that you lead and the people that you work with, be that professionally or in the private life. I also believe in excellence. I think it's worthwhile spending 5 more minutes to make something better and not leave things kind of half done. And I'm also a little bit of a stirrer-upper. So I like to question things. I like to ask, is this really the way we should be doing this? And these three things lend themselves well to the Forrester job, because at Forrester, that's what we're meant to do, right? We're meant to build relationships with people to guide them, but also we're meant to tell them, are you sure this is the right way to go? Are you sure that you want to do this? Because we have research that tells us that it's probably not correct. So these are the things that I really enjoy doing. And right now I have the pleasure of being able to do them all.
Thank you. And if I remember well from our last discussion, you described your job something like, I can discuss interesting topic with interesting people and I can write about it. Therefore,
yes, exactly. And I realized that was very me-centric in hindsight. And I realized that actually what many of us will feel this, because many of us are in this customer experience field. The idea to help somebody get a new idea, or even, Greg, even just something as simple as reminding them of what they know and making sure they apply this in their professional lives, because their professional lives are so busy. They have so much pressure on doing the daily work, the grind, the fire drills. And then I can come in from the outside and I can say, but have you thought about actually thinking about a stakeholder persona map to guide your activity as you're trying to engage with stakeholders? And it's like, yes, of course, I should be doing that. I think that's a really nice thing to be able to come in from the outside and see where people are struggling and help them along to overcome that struggle.
Yeah, but I think this is one of the foundation of customer experience, having an inside-out view and an outside-in view. And this is not related only to our customers, let's say B2B or B2C, but it's also for us employees to get these different views and to get also insight from others. For me, one of the main topics why I'm doing this podcast is because I want that people can learn, we can share all this information, and leverage these best practices. And I think that's exactly what you are doing in a bit different way.
Right. And now comes the sterile upper thing. Yesterday, I had a really interesting conversation and I had this new insight that I wanted to share with you, that what we mean by outside in, of course, is to take a customer and put it at the center of how we think. But it also occurred to me that if we look from the outside in, we're still looking at us. Right, we're still looking at the company. We're actually not looking at customers. We're trying to see how do we look through the customer eyes. And I've been thinking, it's a really good term, and we should keep on using it. But we should also remember that we actually do need to look at the customer, not just at us through the customer's eyes. We need to understand customers' lives and how our company can play a role in customers' lives, as opposed to trying to figure out, how do we look good from the customer eyes? And this occurs to me after, 20, 25 years in customer experience. And that's another part of the job that's exciting, that ever so often you think, the thing that I've been thinking about, or the thing that we've been saying for a long time, is this actually right? Do we need to rethink this a little bit?
Yes, not only rethinking, but also these ideas, somebody already thought about that. Let's leverage what they created. And I found a lot of great framework explanation. Also, I know this is Nick, that it's not the topic of today, but how you are always explaining the value for the customer. And I know the word for it's not the right one, but value in general. And this, I may think about that and I can bring that into my company. And they say, oh, yes, that's true. Let's think about that in a different way. And this is really great. But now
Greg, one last thing. Many people ask about rethinking things. And I was pushing back in my head saying, no, we don't need to rethink them. We need to do them. Which is partly true. And then a client of mine that I talked to said, Maxi, that's true. The CX people have thought everything. They just need to do it. But the people in the organization, the other stakeholders, they're not as far in the thinking. So we have to find ways to also get them to rethink in order to get more doing done. And that's also something that we need to constantly optimize for, right? How do we get people to see things differently so that they're open to the inputs that we have as a customer experience leader?
I think now we changed the topic of this podcast, but it's worth it to discuss that. Let's continue this way. Maxi, please. We know we prepared something, but let's discuss about that. Because what you said, I think it's extremely important. And my view is the CX community is great. We have a lot of great people, the right mindsets, the willingness to achieve something. They see the purpose, but we are speaking our own language and nobody understands us. We can discuss about personas, we can discuss about customer journeys, customer optimization, customer journey optimization, and so on. But nobody cares about that, because if we then speak with the CFO, they want to listen to numbers. If we speak with marketing, they want to see all your KPIs and so on. And could you please elaborate a bit on that?
Right. It's that I agree with you. It's that hero effect. Like, we are all the heroes of our own lives, and we bring that to work, and then we create something. We learn a new framework, journeys, personas, and we're so excited about it. And then we think, oh, this must be so important. This is so important. This must be important to everybody. And we bring it to them, and that makes us not relatable. I often have this conversation that when people say to me, you know what, that word journeys is completely, it's our company, people roll their eyes when they hear it. And I say, I understand. Because we've come in like the saviors that finally explain how to do things with a journey map, right? But what we need to do instead is to say, oh, you're trying to understand how to improve this experience, or oh, you're trying to understand how to save costs in a sustainable way, or you're trying to understand how to measure something. I got you covered. I have a tool. You don't know. It's called journey mapping. Doesn't matter. But I have a tool to help you do this in a way that will be sustainable and customer centric. And that approach is very different than saying, oh, we must measure and we must map all of our journeys in the company. So, and I know this is, for many of us, this is actually how we want our internal audiences to think. We want them to think of the customer first, which means that we also need to model that thinking, right? If I model to my internal stakeholders that I am really self-obsessed, how will they be customer-centric? It's the basic principle of modeling.
Yes, what you mentioned at the beginning brings me to this idea. You said, I am the hero myself, and I understand that. But we are preaching continuously that we need to look outside in, inside out, speak with the others, make all these interviews, and so on. And I go one step forward, and please, to the audience, don't feel that I'm unpolite, but a lot of CX professionals think that they are the CEO. Because there are always more and more topics. Let's speak about employee engagement. Let's speak about all the measurement topics. Let's speak how we can generate more revenues. Yes, but these are all existing functions in a company. Employee engagement, employee experience is HR, sometimes, or most of the times, revenue generation, it's a clear topic of marketing and all these different topics. And if you say, I am doing everything, and sorry, let's be honest, let's be really brutal. It's one people or four people in a company of 4,000 or 5,000 people. How can you do a bit of everything? We really need to focus. And as you said, bring these tools, these ideas, these frameworks to the people in their language to support them achieve their result. And when they achieve their result, they say, oh, the guy is a good guy. Let's talk with him and let's understand what he wants to do. How are you helping your customer with this issue?
Yes, so two thoughts. The first is, it is very normal that a company that sees a gap creates a function. That's why we see innovation officers. That's why we see diversity officers. That's why we see digital officers. But when you look at how a company works, you can't have 20 C something O's. So these roles should theoretically all be roles that are guiding the company through a transformation, but then should be taken up by the existing roles. And it's normal to need some kind of transitional function because you need special talent and so on, right? Now in customer experience, we've been transitioning for 20 years to try to do that. And what we've succeeded with is not really transitioning, right? CX in many companies is still outsourced to the CX team. Oh, you're the guys who do CX, right? So we've not managed to do what you just said in terms of actually making this a transition role and embedding it in how we do business.
But now it comes, because you said that, then I need to ask this question, and I know, and also for the audience, it's not prepared, and therefore I'm not sure where we are landing with this discussion. How do you define customer experience within a company? Because from my point of view, with the people I'm discussing, for one company, customer experience, it's only contact center. For one company, customer experience starts with marketing. For the other, it starts somewhere else. How are you defining that? And perhaps how are you also helping companies setting up this customer experience functions or discipline?
Yes, customer experience is two things. It is how customers perceive their interactions with an organization. Very simple. Customer experience is also a function that was created to help orchestrate an organization around that, to help connect stakeholders around that goal, to try to get them to understand what customer needs are, try to design experiences that fulfill these needs and optimize them over time, right? That was the deliver them and optimize them over time. And that's the idea of what a customer experience team is supposed to do. Now, at Forrester, we've actually taken a step back and said that there's a customer experience function, and a customer experience function, to be successful, needs to do certain things, right? You need to measure customer experience, you need to have customer insights, you need to build the function, make the case, and so on and so on. And we have quite a lot of insights and research on how to optimize the function, how you work more effectively, more efficiently, how you can hold yourself accountable as a customer experience function. But we also then have that topic of customer obsession. And I know some people say, oh, obsession sounds like a stalker, but let's just stick with the term customer obsession, because it's meant to truly show that you're really focused on customers. And so we talk about customer obsession, but then we talk about this at a much higher level, where we then say that there is reason that there's a role that marketing plays in customer obsession. There's a role that IT plays in customer obsession. There's a role that customer experience plays there. But the customer obsession is the broader thing of how the company is operating, its strategy, and also its overall way of leading, right? How leaders are leading. So that's how we're trying to get at that a little bit, to make it more clear that, yes, we have an overall company objective of being customer obsessed, to make sure customers are having good experiences, and we have a function that is there to be a center of excellence, to steer things and to orchestrate stakeholders internally.
I like what you're saying. Perhaps also we can build up on a personal experience. I understand that we can do that, and a lot of companies have in their goal, in their strategy, being customer focused. How often they really are, it's another discussion. We can have another podcast. From my point of view, what I found out is, sometimes or most of the times, this customer experience function are seen as overhead. These are the first people that need to leave a company if company need to save money. And from my personal experience, what you said, we started a project. It was a process optimization, and we went through the well-known business process management, first step analysis, discussion, mapping, improving, and so on. And for me, what was the best possible outcome of this process improvement was we achieved our result. And the guy, it was a physician, told us, but that's not enough. Now we are more efficient, but something is missing. And then he showed us a slide where he said, what I want to achieve is this something different. And he was not phrasing that like customer experience, but he said, when I go on vacation in the mountains, in the Swiss mountains with my family, I go to this specific hotel. They know me. They know what I like because I'm going there since years. They know what my children likes. They are caring about me. They are preparing our plan, what we could do. And he said, I am missing in the hospital or I am missing in companies. Who is responsible for that, for this level up? And then I said, let's talk because I have an idea what we could do and how we could achieve that. Let's have some analysis, some discussion about how are you treating the patients that are coming into your clinic? And he said, oh, this is interesting. And then I said, there is a framework that we can follow and we can go step by step. And this was the first time that somebody was asking for what we were doing, but because we did first what he wanted. And do you see also with your customer something happening like that?
Yeah, we see this a lot, that the really successful customer experience teams have managed to be involved in decision-making. Because the customer experience teams that aren't as successful have been reduced to measurement and VOC-only teams that are basically there to find the issues in the decisions that were already made. For example, a customer gives feedback that they don't like the app. That's feedback about a decision that's already made. The successful business teams are the ones that there are several companies I have in mind, for example, that are integrated into the business improvement roadmap, where business improvement cannot start without a customer input, because it's really easy to see Six Sigma very efficiency oriented, right? But you need to do these things also for customer processes. And one specific example is DBS. It's a huge and exciting bank in Singapore. They, for example, measured customer hours. How many customer hours were they wasting through their internal processes or through the inefficiencies that they created? And that became then the process improvement roadmap became to reduce the number of customer hours that customers had to spend to deal with the inefficiencies at DBS. Now, that's a super example, because this is not about, ooh, let's improve experience. This is about something very concrete that people can relate to, and it's inbuilt into the decision-making. Other example, HubSpot. At HubSpot, the customer experience team reports to the strategy team, which means that when HubSpot does its strategy planning, when they're thinking about their epics and stories and where to go in the next year, the voice of customer and customer experience team is actually setting the agenda for these meetings with their inputs. So they're involved in the front of decision-making processes as opposed to be left holding the bag, basically, when these decisions have been made. And that's what I think we need to do as in customer experience. We have to have not two sets of ears, but I guess four sets of ears, right? One set of ears needs to listen to customer feedback, but also to how customer needs are evolving. The first one is listening to what customers tell us. The second one is trying to understand what their needs are. This is a much more involved listening. Many companies have research organizations to do that, and we need to do that really, really well. The other set of ears is stakeholder-oriented, where one set of ears listens to which decisions are being made and when, so that we can see, ooh, aha, at that point is a strategy planning meeting. I better be in touch with them to give them insights. And how are stakeholders currently using the data or not using the data? And why do they like or not like working with the customer data? What can we do to make that easier? So four ears instead of two ears would be really helpful for customer experience teams.
That's very interesting. And these are already tangible things that people can do to improve and to get support. Now, perhaps let's look from the other side and it make a bit more difficult. What I found out is in this example that I shared, to create something more for the patient in this case, because this physician was willing that. Then we were speaking with the project team, and the project team said, okay, we know something. You're always speaking about customer journeys. You're speaking about personas. Give us the templates. We will fill them in, and then we can start improving. And for people outside of our field, or also for process engineers,
perhaps not all, some of them, or the one that I know, for them is, if we're doing process management, then there is a clear process that we need to go through. We need to do this, this, and that. If we speak about customer experience, they think it's something fluffy. Give me the personas template, I fill in, 15 minutes, it's done, we have our personas. How can we make understandable for people not being in our CX community, not working with in a CX function, that it's also discipline and it's not something fluffy that we can do, let's quickly sketch the journey map and it's done?
Yes, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know the perfect answer. I mean, you said that customer experience is a business discipline. That's what we've been saying for 20 years at Forrester. It is a business discipline. There are tools and you have to use them correctly. I wonder that sometimes to just talk to people and say, use these tools like you would use your own tools. You would never create a process map on a whim. Don't create a journey map on a whim. And I think what helps with that a little bit is to go away from this notion of CX that many people think of as delighting the customer, the cherry on the icing, the cake, the icing on the cake, the cherry on the sundae, whatever that is, right? Some emotional thing. Tell people that customer experience is about people getting their tasks done, people getting this done in an easy manner, and then ideally people feeling good about you and about themselves. And if we explain that that all is what customer experience is, then we explain that this is something real, this is tangible. Back to the example of the customer hours that I mentioned earlier, this makes it very tangible. And there's, by the way, there's others that do something similar. There was a big cable company, I believe in the States, who started to report data about customers differently. They, in cable providers, often report how many times a technician has to go to a customer. It's called the truck roll. What they were doing now instead, they were reporting how many days customers had to take off work to receive the trucks. And so then suddenly you translate something that seems fluffy like customer experience into something specific. People are spending time, we're wasting people's time. And process teams, for example, will understand that language. So now we're getting back to the language. And for example, for a marketing team, you might say, ooh, the amount of people who say that they are a detractor would fill 3 football stadiums. Maybe that would be more resonating with them. So you can find the language that will resonate to those people. Or for the marketing team, you might say, you know what? You'll need 10 campaigns to get these people to be happy again. So that will resonate. And now we're back to where we started. It's that as a customer experience person, you are 2 things. You are a translator so you're translating basically what customers want for the company, but you're also translating the tools and the approaches that you have so that stakeholders can embrace them. You're a multiplier because you're not doing anything actually, right? You're not creating new channels in most cases. You're not creating marketing campaigns. You're not creating sales material. You're not going out to sell to customers. You're not working in brand. You are the multiplier for those people so that those people can do their job better and they can do the job in customer-centric ways as opposed to internally process-optimized ways.
And to add the last point and perhaps to introduce the next episode that we need to record together about measurement, what you shared also really great example that we should start thinking about measuring in an other way, like wasted hour by our customers, or how many campaigns do we need, or how many, and this is another example, how many detractors could fill a stadium somewhere that people get a better feeling, and in order also to track progress. But now we are coming to the end of this discussion. I still have 3 questions for you in the extra time. Fast forward in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
I think I will have my own curated podcast experience, right? Because AI will know exactly what I want to hear, and then maybe we'll not even be talking. maybe there'll be some parts of what I've said somewhere else that would be played into the podcast to help the person who wants to listen to, right? Personalized podcast. I'm half joking. I think that if we don't manage to come out of the transitionary role, I think we'll still be discussing many of the same things. And what we'll discuss will depend entirely on the economy. If the economy is poor, we'll be discussing customer experience people being let go, customer experience people being frustrated with not making progress. And if the economy is good, we'll be talking about customer experience people saying that they're not needed because it's going too well. And if it's somewhere in the middle, then we have, I think, a sweet spot of customer experience. But looking at the past, I think the topics will be very similar to the ones today because how humans operate isn't going to change. And the idea that we as CX people sometimes forget that we're not the heroes, that will still be true in 10 years. The idea that people in companies forget that they're not the heroes, that will still be true in 10 years. And these long-term behavioral markers of what humans are, they're not changing that quickly. And that's why I think we'll have some of very similar discussions.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to listen to the even more best of Max Schmidt in 10 years from now. What's the best way to contact you?
Hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm always happy for connections, more quality than quantity. So I'm also hoping that we can have a discussion in comments on LinkedIn. So that's probably the best way to reach me. And otherwise, mschmidt@forrester.com.
Thank you very much. And now the last question is Max's golden nugget. It's something we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
I think just keep in mind that you need to have fun when you're doing this job. And this might sound weird, but if you feel like you're not in the company where you can have success and you've tried it a little bit, maybe it's also not the right company. I say this because I see a lot of frustrated people. And the most successful CX people work in companies that don't make it so hard for them. So can I do a plädoyer for picking the right company for your next job? That's I think the nugget that I want to share.
Maxi, it was as usual a great pleasure to have this discussion. And for the audience that perhaps don't know Maxi very well, she's very precise. We predefined some question. We didn't discuss this question. This is a completely new discussion, but it was a great one, and I'm sure the audience will enjoy that. Yes, Maxi, please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. Please give us feedback. Anything you think about what we discussed,
yes.
Please follow Maxi. Please contact us if you have any question. Thank you very much and bye-bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.